Hello and welcome to episode 4 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony.
And I'm Lou. Happy to be here as always. How you doing, Tony?
I'm well. I'm glad we're back on track.
I'm glad we're back on track too. We had a little hiccup last week, but now we're back on our regularly scheduled schedule, and we'll try to keep it that way. Unless, of course, Tony screws it up again.
I had nothing to do with that.
No, actually, it was a technical glitch that was nobody's fault. But maybe mine. I'm not sure. I think it was a power spike that ruined it. What happened was we had to stop recording because an alarm went off in the next room. And when we started recording again, the last segment of the last podcast, it came out all messed up. So I think there was a power surge or something. But so it was probably not Tony's fault. You got any shout outs you want to do this week?
No, I just want to thank the reviews that have been coming in.
Yes, thank you.
Especially the one who said that they loved me.
Yeah, thanks a lot. That would be Dorkard. And thank you for specifically pointing out that you think Tony is hilarious and mentioning nothing about
thank
me.
Thank you, Dorkard.
Oh, that's lovely.
By the way, I am not Dorkard.
No, Tony did not write that about himself, for those who may be wondering that. Although, I don't think you're above that, are you?
No, not at all, but it
in this particular instance, it wasn't you. And of course, if you have anything you want us to specifically talk about, or if you just have a question or a comment, praise, criticisms, love letters, whatever, if you want to send us weird
things
pictures,
Tony got wrong.
Things Tony got wrong, those emails will be longer, judging by the last few shows. Send those emails to podcast@pause.com. And don't forget, at the end of the episode, as always, our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. Speaking of weird emails, did I ever tell you about the time when I was making toys and we got an email at the toy company from a guy who said that he loved
back
our...
at Santa's workshop?
No. Yeah. When I was working with the rest of the elves. No, we got an email from some guy who said, I love your toys so much that I wanted to send you a picture of me and my girlfriend at a cemetery.
What?
Yeah. So he sends us all these pictures. He attached all these pictures to the email of him and his girlfriend hanging out at a cemetery.
Were any toys in the picture?
No. It had nothing to do with toys whatsoever. It was just shots of him and his girlfriend hanging out at a cemetery, having like a picnic or something.
Were they all like goth or anything?
No. They were just weird.
That's really weird.
Yeah. And you remember that one girl who...
We don't discourage those emails either, so no. Send us your picnic cemetery
exactly.
Photos.
Do you remember that girl that I went on a couple dates with at the movie theater who...
Oh, here we go. Lose old war stories.
No. Do you remember? Do you know who I'm talking about? That girl that I went on a couple dates with, and then she sent me a letter at college.
She's not listening. Say her name.
That she said, I don't remember her name. I got to be honest with you. That said that when the next time I came home, she wanted to do something fun, like go for a walk in a cemetery. Do you remember that girl?
No.
Oh. Oh, well. Anyway. All right. So.
Completely made up.
I did not make that up. That's not celebrity gossip. That's the only thing we make up around here. So look forward to some of that.
No, some of my facts I make up.
I hope you used finger quotes when you said facts just now.
Right.
All right. So what did you?
Well,
you
I do want to mention, first of all, because this is something in listening to last week's podcast that I wanted to mention. When we list our best and worst entertainment moments of the week, they are our own personal best and worst entertainment moments of the week. I know last week mine had to do with Slumdog Millionaire, which has been out a month. So for me, that was my best entertainment moment of the week.
Why? Did somebody tell you that it wasn't timely?
No. But I mean, I thought about that. I'm like, well, you know, anyone listening could think, well, that movie's been out for a month.
That's what makes us different from everybody else. We are not these people who are going to review a movie before we've seen the whole thing. No. We're not going to review a video game based on a publisher's demo that they give us a walkthrough for. Not going
to
happen.
Isn't that what you're about to talk about?
No. That's something completely different. So stop reading the list and just listen to what I'm saying here.
Okay.
No, my point is that, movie reviews, you know, when movie reviewers review a movie, they've gone to a special screening of the film. So they've actually seen it before they review it, so they can review it before it comes out so that people can, you know, not have to use their brain and decide if they actually want to see it for themselves. But with video game reviews, a lot of times what happens is the publishers will send reviewers either a version that's incomplete or a version that they give them cheat codes so they can jump around from point to point inside the game so that they can get through the whole game without actually having to play it. Because, I mean, especially with a game that's huge, right. What are they going to do? Spend 3 months playing it before they review it?
Right.
We'll never do that. Our reviews may not come out right when the product comes out, but they will be accurate, they will be complete, and they will be from the heart.
I agree with that completely. But the point I'm making is that that may not have been the overall best entertainment. That was my own personal best entertainment.
Well, I think people know that. It's our show.
Okay. Well, I've stated it now.
Well, I'm just saying. Okay, fine. So what'd you play this week? What are you going to talk about in video games?
Well, you know, actually what I want to talk about this week are iPhone games. You know, they're... like hundreds of games on the iPhone, probably thousands of games on the iPhone. And what's great about iPhone games is they're great little time wasters, just if you're sitting in a doctor's office or sitting, well, I don't want to say sitting in traffic. That's probably not wise.
Yeah.
But sitting waiting for Lou to finish typing up some list before the show. Or so I figure maybe once a month or, you know, occasionally.
Or sometimes even to play while I'm talking about things on the list during the show.
Exactly. I thought, you know, we mentioned a few of the games. I'll just, you know, spend a couple seconds on a few of them. And, you know, stuff I think is worthy to check out and stuff.
Why don't you go ahead and start that?
Thank you. Yeah. Am I rambling?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. A couple I want to mention this
week.
Less
intro, more substance. Thanks.
Okay. The first game I'd like to talk about is called Scramboni.
Is that where you drive a Zamboni around?
No.
Oh.
That's where you're given a number of letters and you have to unscramble them into common words.
Okay.
And what's really cool about it is you play against other people.
Oh, that
so
is
cool. You play it either over the Wi-Fi or over 3G. But I noticed if I played over 3G, depending on your 3G signal, your answers will sometimes be delayed. So I was playing a game yesterday at work. Yeah. No one at work is listening to this. But I would put in a word right away, and I was sure that I was going to be number one, and then I was like number 10.
Now, is it just you against one person? Or
no. It's you against, however, I think up to like 20. I mean, I played against like 17
cool.
people at one time.
And do you have to, is there like a whole game setup thing that you have to go through, or how does that work?
You just kind of sign up for it the first time, and, you know, you give like your email address, and,
right.
and from that point on, it automatically logs you in. So, so as soon as you come on, it logs you in, puts you up to the server.
That's very
cool.
You
see how many players are available for each. There's three different levels.
Okay.
And each level is harder. Yeah. And you have to actually, in order to get to the next level,
right.
you need to get a certain number of points. And you have a tally of points. So, you know, then you're rated at the end. And what's really funny about that is I look at, like, the top 10 mm-hmm. and how many points they have. These people must not have anything else to do but play Scramboni.
Well, don't you see that in a lot of games? Like, whether it's that or, you know, like, even the little games that are on Facebook and stuff like that. You see some of these, you know, the scores that people have. Or like, the movie trivia games. I always see this. Right. Where it's like, you know, I'll maybe play something. Like, there was a trivia game for the TV show Chuck. And so I went through a bunch of those trivia questions. And after, like, 20 minutes, I had, like, 1,500 points. And then I look and see my rank is, like, crazy low. And the guy who has the most points has, like, 386,000 points. Like, well, first of all, how many questions could there be about a show that's been on for one season? A season and a half. And second, how much time has this guy spent answering trivia questions?
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, that's my point. How many hours of word jumble? I mean, that's what this is.
Right.
Can you play?
Now, where'd the name come from? Are all the questions about like pasta or something?
I don't know. Oh. No.
They're not all about pasta.
No.
You're
but
sure?
You'll remember it.
Ooh, maybe that's Scramboni. That's true. It is a good name. Is this a free game or did it cost money?
This was a free game, actually.
Okay. Because, you know, if you don't have an iPhone, you may not be familiar with this, but when you go in the App Store, there are a lot of the apps that are there are free. And right. then there's others that you have to pay for.
I would say a large portion of the games, though, do cost. But this is a free one.
Yeah.
Another game I'd like to talk about is called Rolando.
Okay.
Or Rolando.
Okay.
I guess I'm giving it a little Latin twist, but we'll call it Rolando.
Do you want to roll the R, too?
Rolando.
That actually sounds better.
Well, thank you. It's very similar to if you've ever played the PSP game. Which I'm sure you haven't because you've never had a PSP. But it's very similar to the game Loco Roco in that there's little... why are you laughing?
I don't know. It's just a funny name.
There's
is it a lot like Puyan?
No.
Oh.
Nothing like Puyan.
Okay.
They're, the characters are little balls and... I know, I'm sure that I'm laughing at that. And your goal is to move the environment to get them to a goal. But
okay.
What's
like
cool,
Marble Madness?
Yes, but I mean, obviously, this is 2D.
Right. Oh, okay.
It's the iPhone.
Yeah, that's true.
And so you actually use the accelerometer by moving the phone to move the environment and to move them, you know, around right, to hills get them and that. But then to get them to jump, you just flick your finger. But what's cool is there's a certain number you have to get to the goal.
Okay.
So you can either do it like one at a time, although there is a time limit.
Right.
Either do them one at a time, or you can just with your finger draw a box over them and control many at a time.
Yeah.
And then with a flick of a finger, you make them jump, and then you move the environment. And as you get through higher levels, then you there's different switches and stuff that where you have to, you know, use your finger. It's all just
like puzzles and stuff.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, it's really cool. Some of the controls that you use your finger for, you can scroll like through different areas of the environment, just, you know, as you would scrolling through your photo album.
Right, right.
So just the controls are that are great, because my biggest complaint about some of the games that first came out on the iPhone were the use of the accelerometer.
Yeah,
I thought it was a really cool idea, but I could never get the hang of it. That
yeah.
Super Monkey Ball,
yeah,
could
yeah.
never
that
get the hang
really,
of it.
That was really
or
hot.
Most of those
but
driving
let,
games.
Let me ask you a question. When you said you can drag a marquee around a bunch of them.
Uh-huh.
How does it know the difference between that and when you're just tapping the screen?
Like
how does it know that you want to actually drag and that you're not just
because I'm holding it rather than flicking it. Like the jump is actually a flick.
Okay. I gotcha.
So, I mean, it takes a little getting used to, but it's much easier to control than, like I said, Super Monkey Ball or yeah. Cro-Mag
and
Rally.
And I'm really happy with myself that I used Marble Madness as a reference and not Super Monkey Ball, since you also have to use the accelerometer to move the environment in that game as well. And that's 3D.
Yeah.
But you said that you made that's the iPhone. Like, it couldn't do 3D.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't do it well, though, I don't think.
But,
okay, so that's two. You have any more? Or is that it?
No, I'll just do a couple. You know, each time I do this segment, I'll
okay,
do a couple.
Cool. The thing that I played was the demo for Fear 2 Project Origin, which now I think this is a prequel to the original Fear,
okay.
which I never played. So I have no idea what the story is. All I know is that there's a little girl, and her name is Alma, and I think she might be a ghost.
Okay.
And I think she set off a nuclear explosion. that's about all I got out of it. And it, you know, it's a first-person shooter, and as is typical in shooters, you walk around and pick up guns and ammo, and then you shoot pretty much everything that comes your way. And there's a lot of that, and it works pretty well. There were a few things about it that I found a little quirky, like when you know, as in most of these games, you use the mouse to turn, because of course most of my reviews will be PC games.
Uh-huh.
I should just put that out there. But when you use the mouse to turn. It turns very fast, so you could move the mouse a small amount, and all of a sudden you'll be looking completely behind you. Now, I don't know if that's by design or if it's just something that you can tweak in the controls to maybe ease up on a bit, but I found that a little distracting. And I also had a weird thing happen where the game was pausing every couple of minutes. Like, all of a sudden it would just stop, and it would stay frozen for a couple seconds, and then it would start going again. But there were the graphics are
think
very...
Think that was a hardware issue?
I don't know because I think I read online some other people were having a similar problem, and I don't think it was just limited to one type of video card or ATI or NVIDIA. I think it was people on both sides that were saying that. Graphics are really nice; it looks great. It's a little claustrophobic feeling, which I'm sure is by design because of the nature of the game. But you know, there's like a HUD overlay over the screen the whole time, so it's obvious that you're in some kind of suit.
Right.
And that you're seeing, you know, whatever's being projected through your helmet or whatever. I'm not crazy about that kind of thing. I much prefer the, you know, Half-Life 2 style where the interface is much more minimalist. But again, I assume they did it on purpose. And there were some really cool effects too. Like there's something going on, obviously, where there are ghosts or spirits or something in another dimension. You keep as you play through the demo, you have these little flashes where you'll be going down a hall and you'll see a wall that's been, you know, half destroyed, and then all of a sudden you'll have this flash and everything will slow down and you'll see the little girl swinging on a swing, but it's like in the same place where the wall was.
Can you shoot the little girl?
I've tried and that has not worked so far. Yeah. I'm not normally in favor of doing that, but she obviously seems like she's kind of a problem, so I was trying to get rid of her. But there were some really cool effects as far as that goes. And then you get a little bit further in the demo and you get to a place where you put on a power suit, which is like a little mini mech, and then you can walk around in the power suit and shoot people and fire rockets at them and stuff. And then you go down a couple blocks of the city street, and you get to a place where you're ambushed by a bunch of soldiers and a giant power armor from some enemy,
uh-huh.
and that's where the demo ends and the credits start rolling. So it's not a very long demo. It's I think if you like those kind of games, definitely worth downloading and playing. I will say that I downloaded the demo originally from the official Fear 2 website, whatisfear.com, and I tried to install it on three different machines, and it installed fine, but it wouldn't run on any of them. Every time I tried to run it, it just did nothing. And so I finally ended up downloading it through Steam, and it worked that way. So if you're having that kind of trouble, you might want to try that instead. And if you do have that kind of trouble, let us know, because I talked to the publisher about it, and they were not aware of any issues. But I couldn't get it to run on, like I said, three different machines until I downloaded it through
Steam. It's also available on Xbox 360, on Xbox Live, and PS3 on PSN.
Right. It is also not available on the Wii, the iPhone. The PSP? It is on the PSP? No?
No.
And it's not on the Dreamcast. So if you're still on that, go buy something else. And that's pretty much it. That's all I got for video games right now.
Yep.
Okay, cool. We'll take a little break, and we'll be back to talk about TV. Okay, we are back, and we're going to talk about TV now. Did you watch the Super Bowl?
We had it on.
Yeah. I'm not a sports guy. I don't watch any sports on TV. I don't really understand the whole concept of watching sports. And I thought about watching it just for the commercials. You know, there were a bunch of 3D commercials, or a few 3D commercials, I would say. And, the ads are always pretty good. But
by the way, 3D commercials without the glasses? Aggravating.
Not good.
Oh, my God, a headache.
Well, and we'll talk about...
Did you have glasses?
Well, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about this. I didn't watch it. I didn't watch the Super Bowl. I didn't see the commercials until afterward. I got them all off of Hulu, and I posted a bunch of the ones that I thought were either good or interesting for some other reason, or including being terrible. So you can go check those out on pause.com. But I didn't... watch. Oh, you know what? I did watch the Monsters versus Aliens commercial, but I didn't have the glasses. So I just watched it, without them. And it was a little aggravating. Yeah. Well, the worst part about it is the colors are all funky.
Right.
Because there's basically the two ways of doing 3D. You do the red blue, which is what this was, or you can do those funky polarized ones.
Uh-huh.
And that one usually looks better. And the glasses are not, they're not colored. They just have some weird lenticular lenses or something. Sorry. I can't even figure out how to PCize that term. I do not like political correctness, so I wouldn't use it anyway. But some of the commercials were pretty good. I liked the Audi commercial with Jason Statham. I thought it was really cool how they had him, in different time zones. And not only did they make the film look like that time period, like the 70s, 80s, 90s, etc., but even the way they did the action was very reminiscent of each one of those periods in terms of how films were shot back then. I thought that was really cool. And I thought it was cool, too, that they kind of gave a little bit of a dig to both Mercedes and to BMW and the Japanese companies like Lexus by showing him in those cars earlier, but saying, okay, you know what? That's the way people used to do things. Now it's Audi's time.
Right.
And that's true. They're doing a lot better than a lot of the other car companies. And their products are really cool. I know you're not a car guy. So that was one of my favorites. I liked a lot of the movie previews. I was a little disappointed that the Star Trek one didn't show more than it did. I didn't really feel like it gave me anything new other than more shots of the same kind of things that we've already seen.
Right.
There's the Transformers 2 preview.
No desire.
Yeah, you didn't
I didn't
like
the first
one.
Yeah. Oh, so, I saw it. I didn't like it.
Right. I liked it. I didn't think it was a great film.
It felt old.
It
made me feel old.
Yeah.
Because, I was, Transformers were after I was a kid.
I never saw the show or played with the toys, but I liked the movie. I can definitely see why you would feel that way, because especially with some of the humor coming from the robots, it was very kid oriented.
Right.
What was his name? I'm not going to remember the actor's name now. John, he played like a general or something, and he had a really campy part. You know who I'm talking about?
Nope.
Oh, shoot. I can't remember his name. But anyway, some of the humor was really, really childish. But I liked the effects, and I thought, some of that other stuff was cool. But so there was that. There was the did you watch the preview for Up, the new Pixar movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that looks like it might be cute. They don't make a lot of mistakes over there. There was a preview for a new Disney movie. They're going back to the whole Witch Mountain franchise with Race to Witch Mountain starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Now, when I was a kid, I loved Escape to Witch Mountain. I thought that was a great movie when, you know, when I was a kid. And I had the biggest crush in the world on Kim Richards, who is the little blonde girl with the really raspy voice. So it kind of bugs me that they would even do something with that franchise without, I don't know, you either have to like get somebody who's exactly like that, or you have to go in a completely opposite direction as far as I'm concerned. Because the little girl that's in this one, where'd you say she's from?
She was in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Okay. Who'd she play?
It wasn't Veruca Salt.
Violet?
Violet.
Violet Beauregard?
No. No. Maybe it was Veruca Salt.
I don't know. I didn't recognize her.
IMDb.
But they, yeah, I can't do that while we're recording, sorry. But yeah, and there were a bunch of lines that The Rock delivered in this. Am I supposed to call him The Rock, or am I supposed to call him Dwayne Johnson now?
I don't think he's dropped The Rock.
He's still The Rock.
I think he's still
okay.
The Rock.
There are a bunch of lines of his that make the movie look like it's going to be really, really bad. Like, don't go into the pimped out fridge.
Come on.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. It looked really bad. It looked really bad. So there was that. Coke had some cool commercials. There was one called Avatar where this guy's walking through the city and everybody that he looks at is turning into their avatars, whether it's from, you know, whatever online system or service. That was really cute. And they had another one called Heist where a bunch of insects steal a guy's bottle of Coke while the guy's sleeping on a picnic blanket. That one was really cool. And some very
CG.
Good effects in that. Yeah, it was all the bugs were CG. The guy was real and the landscape was real, but all the bugs were CG. Either that or they had the world's best bug trainer.
Right.
Because they stole a bottle of Coke. So I'm assuming it was CG.
Land of the Lost looked cool.
The Land of the Lost does look cool. Year One with Jack Black and Michael Cera, that looked funny. And the Hulu commercial I thought was great with Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin could do no wrong.
Yeah. Well, he did marry What's-Her-Name.
Okay. So and cuss out his daughter.
He can do some wrong. Yeah, what about that? Oh, God. So, but yeah, so there were some okay commercials.
Did you notice that he's been bringing her to like all the award shows he's been going to recently?
No, I don't
He brought her to the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
And they were on the red carpet together. And you know, one of those interviewers just going to go, oh, you're the little pig.
Kathy Griffin, maybe.
Right.
Does she look like she's fake smiling during all of them?
Well, she certainly looks like a child of Hollywood because she's got a little
hair
to her. Yeah.
Oh, no. But was she smiling and happy?
Yeah.
And did there seem to be a gun to her back? I don't want to start that rumor, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying if it's that tense between them. So some of the commercials were okay, but, you know, as usual, nothing really earth-shattering. But continuing the discussion of the 3D glasses, they were used last night on an episode of Chuck called Chuck versus the Third Dimension.
I'd like to call it Chuck Jumps the Shark.
You know, it was not the best episode of the show, and I love the show. It's probably my favorite.
I know you do.
My overall favorite show on TV.
But when I saw the commercial for Chuck in 3D, I'm like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, I really don't know why they did it. It was kind of a strange episode. But I got to tell you the story about how, you know, because I kept forgetting to go get the 3D glasses. Uh-huh. I didn't have them.
Where did you have to get them?
Well,
on a Slurpee cup at 7-Eleven?
No, that would have been better because I haven't had a Slurpee in a while. But no, you could get them supposedly at any place that sold Pepsi or Sobe products.
Okay.
So, and they specifically mentioned CVS, I think Dollar General, which I don't even know where there's one of those around here, and Target. So I went to the CVS by our house, and I find the Sobe display, and there's no 3D glasses there. So I'm like, oh, God. And
Was there even mention of them?
No, there was nothing. There was nothing about 3D glasses anywhere.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't see anybody working except for the girl who was behind the register. And there were like six people in line. So, you know, and I don't like to walk to the front of the line and just ask
Excuse
a question.
Me.
Right, right. So now I got to like wait in line while she rings out all these people so that I can try to get my 3D glasses. And the guy in front of me is like this 70-year-old man, right? So finally he gets up there and I'm thinking, okay, I just hope this girl knows what she's talking about. I hope if they have them, she knows where they are. And I'm just like, and then I'm like looking behind me because I'm hoping that nobody else gets in line behind me because I don't want anyone sitting there watching me ask this girl behind the counter for 3D glasses. So the old man gets up to the counter. He goes, do you have the 3D glasses for Chuck
no.
tonight? And the girl goes, what? He goes, yeah, my favorite show is in 3D tonight and I can't find the glasses anywhere. The 70-year-old man. And I go, oh, that's so funny. That's what I'm about to ask for too. And she goes, I don't know anything about that. And he turns to me, he goes, I went to like five different Walgreens and they didn't have them there either. I don't know what I'm going to do.
So then did you take him and the two of you drive around?
He's actually living with us now. That was the end of our friendship. But we went our separate ways, and I
did you find him?
Yeah, I went to Target, and the woman who was at customer service there, because they didn't have him on the Sobey display there either. So we went to customer service, and they had him behind the counter. And she said, "Oh," she goes, "I didn't even realize we had these, except a guy called about 5 minutes ago, and I went and looked for him, and I found him." And so she took out a sheet. And what was so dumb is they came in sheets of four.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, "Well, how many do you need?" I go, "Well, can you just give me a sheet?" She goes, "Well, I probably shouldn't. I don't want to run out." And I'm like, "Okay."
The show starts in like
15 minutes. I was like rushing. And so she made me like cut them apart because they were only perforated in part of it. Uh-huh. And then the rest of it you had to cut apart. She's like, "Well, let me find a scissors." And so then I had to sit there at the Target customer service desk cutting out 3D glasses while a bunch of soccer moms were like tisking and
tapping
their feet. That's
certainly your geek moment of the week.
Yeah. I'm glad we don't have a segment like that. Because there might be more than one of them. But yeah, so I did get my 3D glasses and we started watching it, and it just was not a great episode.
Oh, how was the 3D?
The 3D was good. I mean, you know, it's really cool because people say that eventually TV will be 3D without glasses. And there have been some technological developments on that front. And it is really cool. The sense of depth is really cool. But it's, you know, the color sucks. So it's distracting from that standpoint.
Right.
But it just was not a great episode of Chuck.
Now, when you say it's 3D, it's like ViewMaster 3D, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, as opposed to like coming out of the screen, it's just like ViewMaster where it adds a little extra.
Yeah, there was both. I mean, there's definitely the ViewMaster kind of stuff where it looks layered.
Right.
And the background stuff is out of focus.
Okay.
You know, there's that kind of stuff. And then there is stuff where it looks like there are things coming out of the screen. Like, you know, you knew this was going to happen. There was at least one punch that came out towards the screen.
Right.
And there was at least one knife throw that came out toward the screen. Uh-huh. And then there were other things, like in one part of the episode, they were doing a submarine eating contest at the Buy More. And so the shot was like looking down the sub toward the person who was eating it.
Uh-huh.
And the sub was like kind of sticking out of the screen. So some of that stuff was kind of cool. But, you know, it just was not a great episode of what I think is a great show. So I was a little disappointed with that. But
you
anyway.
Better start your Save Chuck podcast or website.
I better. I forgot about that. I got to get going on that. So tonight, American Idol Hollywood Week starts.
Yes.
So now we had a little incident here at the pause.com offices today because somebody, and I'm not mentioning any names, but it's another person in this podcast who's not me, emailed me a link to voteforthewurst.com where they have apparently posted the list of the 30, was it 32 or 36?
36.
36 finalists.
There's no need to even watch Hollywood Week.
Now, that's terrible. I like watching it and finding out who stays and who goes. Usually, though, by the time they separate people into rooms, mm-hmm. you pretty much figure it out. Because you always know, it's like, well, there's no way that guy's going.
Right.
You know, so then you know that at least that room's safe or whatever. I don't think we've ever been surprised by which room has been kept and which room has gone.
No.
During that. But you don't, did you look through the list?
Yeah, but I mean,
don't say anything.
I don't, you know the names. I don't know the names. So I looked at the list. I recognized maybe like three names.
Okay.
Of 36 people.
Were you surprised about any of those?
No, it was, I mean, I recognized the names. I can't even say I knew who they were.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah, but I like to be surprised and find out.
I mean, you're the one who has all their files in your file cabinet.
Do you want me to have that stack delivered?
No, thanks.
Do you want to go through it? Yeah. No, I'm not that. I'm not that obsessive about it. What? I had one piece of paper last week just so I wouldn't forget people's names. I don't see what's so wrong with that. Journalistic integrity is very important to me.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But so that starts tonight. And do you know anything about how, is it just going to be tonight and tomorrow? Or does it go into next week too?
No, I think it goes next week too.
Okay, so that's much different than last year.
I think that's why, I think that's what their whole thing was this year, was that they were going to cut down the auditions and then add, more Hollywood Week material.
Although they didn't really cut down the auditions that much.
I think they shortened it a week.
Really?
I think it was a week longer.
But they had eight cities, and the only difference this year was that they combined the last two and did it in the same week as the, you know, because last
week it was
3 nights.
Well, you know, New York, they probably could have put it into 2 nights.
Right.
Alone, and here they combined it with San Juan.
Right. But San Juan, they could have fit into a commercial break,
right, exactly.
According to you. So,
by the way, a little side note, the hotel where they had the auditions in San Juan is where I stayed in San Juan just
that's pretty
not
cool.
even a year ago. That is
I wonder when they were there.
I don't know.
It sucks that you weren't there when they were there.
Yeah.
That would have been really cool. But yeah, so that starts tonight and goes through next week, apparently. So that's pretty cool. Lost. Okay, finally watched the second episode of Lost last week.
And
I didn't think it was boring. You said you thought it was boring. I didn't think so.
You know what? I had watched it right after I watched the season premiere. And yeah. I just was a little bored in that I wanted more Jack, Hurley, Kate stuff.
Okay.
And they weren't on this episode at all.
Right.
So not that I was bored. I just, it was disjointed from the 2 hours I had watched right before that.
Yeah.
So like I wanted more of that.
But, you know what I thought was cool about it was when Desmond went to Oxford to try to find Daniel Faraday's mother. They made it seem like when Daniel Faraday had been there was way in the past. And right. I don't think we knew that from when Desmond was there originally, did we?
No.
We thought it was actually in the present.
Right.
So that was kind of cool. And then, of course, the big moment at the end that you thought was really cool was that...
Should we say it?
Yeah, I mean, people have seen it by now, don't you think?
Okay.
Okay, if you haven't seen last week's episode of Lost, skip ahead like 30 seconds to a minute. But there's a shot of John Locke at the Others camp in the past.
In the 50s.
In the 50s. And there's a guy who's probably about 20 years old.
Right.
And it turns out to be
Charles Widmore.
Charles Widmore. And what's interesting is that somebody almost tried to kill him, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. Now, did you give any more thought to what we talked about in terms of the island moving through time and space? Or what do you still think the same thing, that it's moving physically too?
Yeah, I'm still confused by that.
Yeah. I don't know. But it's cool, nonetheless. It is.
Yeah. Oh, I'm enjoying it.
And I actually like the... I like all the scenes with Desmond. When he first came on the show, I did not like his character. But I really, he's actually one of my favorites now.
Yeah.
Oh, and two other Lost tie-ins. The episode of Chuck last night, Charlie was on it.
Oh, really?
Playing a rock star, which I thought was really funny. And then we also watched...
Oh, very three-dimensional.
He was actually kind of a two-dimensional rock star, as I would guess most of them are. But yeah, and then Desmond was on... and I say Charlie and Desmond because I can't remember the actors' names.
Right.
Desmond was actually in that movie Hitman, which I will talk about in movies because we...
Really? You're going to talk about Hitman?
I am. And I'm going to start a new...
I can hardly wait.
I'm going to start a new segment on the show, too,
okay,
when I talk about it. But yeah, so I thought Lost was great. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that was really standout-ish about it. Not really.
No. It was set up.
Oh, although Daniel did profess his love to, what's her name?
Yeah, but did you really think that was real?
Yeah. Didn't you? He's always acted that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
I'm not crazy about her either, I gotta admit. I like the psychic guy, though.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm blanking on everybody's names, but I like how he can just walk over an area and know exactly what happened there.
Right.
And when. That's really cool. So that was Lost, and you wanted to talk about another show?
Yeah. So this week, I had them TiVo'd. I hadn't watched them, so I had a little extra time this week. So I watched the three first episodes of the Showtime show United States of Terra.
Oh, is that the one with Toni Collette?
Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very good. It's about her who's got with multiple personalities. And what's really fun about it is, first of all, it takes a great actress to play this role. I mean, because for you to buy the other personalities... It can't seem too shticky or too, you know,
right.
Goofy.
Yeah.
And the three other personalities that she has is one is a very like housewife, very buttoned down, like great cook, you know, little prim and
proper. Stepford wife.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Her name is Alice.
Yeah.
Then she plays kind of a beer swilling guy named Buck who wears like a trucker hat and like wears glasses.
But is it still her?
Yeah, it's her.
Okay.
It's her.
Okay.
And then her other personality is like a teenage kind of like tramp, I guess.
Yeah.
And her name is T. And I have to say, even when she plays the guy, when she plays Buck, totally believable.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, obviously you can see that it's a woman.
But does everyone else around her know that she's a woman, or do they think it's a guy?
No, they know it's a woman. They know what her deal is.
Okay, okay.
They all know what her deal is, and especially her family. And that's what's great about this show is they could have really taken it sticky and, you know, where like, uh-oh, she's this character. And then, you know, they just kind of live with, oh, she's Buck right now. So this is how Buck is. And what's funny is when she's Buck, like she's got a son and a daughter. Buck doesn't like the son. And so he's like kind of picks on the son. And so the son hates when Buck's around.
Right.
And Alice, who is the Stepford mom, the daughter hates Alice. So the daughter, you know, kind of likes when she's the trampy, you know, teenager.
Because she can pal around with her.
Exactly, which she does.
Yeah.
So,
but just, now wait, does she have a baseline personality?
Well, Tara. I mean, that's...
Oh, okay. Yeah, and what's Tara like? Self.
And just every day. I mean, she's cool.
Yeah.
She's, you know...
And does she know that she has multiple personalities?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And what's really funny is she'll have, after she's had an episode as one or more of these personalities, she'll have a little family meeting to go over
a
what
debriefing.
She did. Yes. with the other, I mean, down to like credit card statements.
That's really
funny.
She'd
be like, oh, I see that T went out and did a little shopping, you know, with the teenage girl. It's so funny.
That's cool.
It's so funny. And just the way the family deals with it, especially the husband played by John Corbett, just the way he deals with it is... you know, he's very cool because, you know, the oversexed teen girl,
right?
You know, is always trying to sleep with him.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, to be fair to his wife, even though it is his wife.
Yeah, that's weird.
He doesn't do anything. And that's her question is when she comes back, she's like, did you do anything with her?
But why wouldn't he? It's her.
But it's not her. It's really someone else. I mean, yes, it's physically
right.
it's her.
It's not like he'd actually be cheating on his wife because it is his wife.
But the wife looks at it as he would be. Because
oh, okay.
Because, you know, that's not her.
Yeah.
But very cool.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had wanted to see that, and then I completely forgot about it. And, you know, I don't think we TiVo'd them or anything. But usually the cable shows, they rerun all the time.
Oh,
so hopefully
sure.
We'll be
they'll
able
probably
to catch
have,
it.
Like, you know, once they've shown four or five, they'll probably have, like, a little marathon.
Yeah.
But like I said, I mean, it really takes a great actress to pull this off and make it believable, and she does. And I really think that, I mean, for sure she'll be nominated for an Emmy for this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's something that when you see it done really well is very impressive. And I know this is a totally cheesy example, but there's a guy on All My Children. hold on. There's a guy on All My Children. I want to say the actor's name is David Canary, uh-huh. And he plays a couple of characters.
I'm not going to be able to help you at all here.
He plays a couple of characters who are, I haven't seen it in years, but uh-huh. You know, I used to watch it and because of my wife. And
because of the polio.
What does that even mean?
Like you're at home with polio. You had there's nothing else you could do.
If I was at home with polio,
I was
would
in
probably,
a total body cast.
With polio, I would probably be doing more Tomb Raider visual walkthroughs and not watching soap operas. But no, he plays two characters named Adam and Stuart who are brothers, and one of them's like learning disabled, you know, he's like slow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like kind of like a tard. And see?
Excuse me?
Not PC. I just wanted to throw that out there. But no, he's slow, and but the actor who goes back and forth between them is like extremely convincing as both characters, you know, and they're soap opera characters, so they're not really as
they're over the top.
Yeah, they're over the top.
Right.
But he does a really good job. And it's funny when they would do scenes together. You know, those were always interesting. But there was somebody else who Amy and I were just talking about who did a character like that where they had to...
Michael Keaton in Multiplicity?
No. Believe it or not, the subject of that film has never come up at our house. No, I'm trying to think. It was something that we just saw where somebody played either two different characters or... a character who kept going back and forth and did it really well. And, of course, this is a really uninteresting story since I can't remember who it was.
Lindsay Lohan in the Parent Trap remake?
No. Believe it or not, also never come
then
up
I'm
for
out
discussion.
Of guesses.
Those are the only two things you can think of where somebody's played multiple characters or multiple personalities.
Yeah.
That's pretty sad. Stuck. Yeah. And Noah was not a cartoon character, so don't even start throwing out Bugs Bunny references. But, all right, you got anything else on TV?
No.
Okay, we'll take a quick break, and we will be back after the musical interlude. I think you should intro this segment.
Am I doing it right now?
Sure. Why
Welcome
not?
Back.
There you go.
And now we're going to talk about movies. And I think Lou just has admitted that it was Lindsay Lohan in the Parent Trap.
No, it was not Lindsay Lohan. It was not Lilo.
But we're going to talk about movies.
You didn't even mention her in Freaky Friday. That could have also been on that list, since she went back and forth between playing herself and Jamie Lee Curtis.
That's true.
And she was actually pretty good at that. I thought they both did a pretty good job.
You know what? Lindsay Lohan is not a bad actress.
No, she is a very good actress, but she's just a complete freak.
She's a mess.
Yeah, she is a mess. Is she any less of a mess these days, or is she still a mess?
I'm not really following her. I don't know.
If there's any insider information.
Last time I talked to her, she seemed completely fine.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I'm glad the therapy's paying off.
So movies. Did you want to start, Lou, or would you like me to start?
No, I'll start. I was thinking about starting a new segment calling Half Movie Reviews, since ever since having a baby, we only seem to be able to watch the first half of a movie.
I like that.
So I could review the first half of Hellboy 2, and I could review the first half of Hitman with Timothy Oliphant, which we just started watching. It's not a great film, obviously. Timothy, you know, it's based on a video game of the same name. And he plays a hitman who was raised since birth to be a hitman for a secret organization known as The Organization. I don't know where they come up with this stuff. But, and so he, you know, he goes around killing people. He gets messages on his computer, and his computer talks in a funny computer voice and tells him who he's supposed to go kill and where and all that sort of thing. And of course, he gets involved with a girl who was involved in one of the hits that he was supposed to be on. And then things go afoul from there. But Desmond from Lost was in there. He played the brother of one of the guys who he was supposed to kill, an arms dealer in Russia. You know, it's not a great movie so far. There's some cool effects. But the weird thing is, and I've said this many times, and I'm sure most people would agree, you can take just about any actor who has decent acting chops, and given the right story and the right director, they can be fantastic. But given a less good script and a less good director, it's kind of a mess, because I really didn't buy him in this part. He was very soft-spoken. He did not come across as a stoic, trained-since-birth hitman. Whereas in the latest Die Hard movie, I thought he was great as the bad guy.
Right.
I thought he was really, really
he's
good.
He's a great actor.
He is. He was very intense in that, but and he's fine to watch. I mean, you know, I didn't mind watching him in Hitman, but I just didn't really buy him as this character.
Right.
And I think it all comes down to the director. I mean, how many times have you seen
Star Wars Episode 1-3?
Okay. Perfect example.
I know.
Liam Neeson, right?
Oh, any of them. Liam Neeson, Natalie Portman.
Yeah, right. Natalie Portman, who?
Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, although he was still, I think, better than most people in the Star Wars prequels.
Yes, but he wasn't, I mean,
as good
he's
as
a
he
much
can
better
be.
Actor.
Right.
In most of his other work than he was in that movie.
The one thing that I will give Lucas props for in terms of Natalie Portman's performance is really pulling out that performance in her, showing us that she can run like a girl. Remember that shot where she like falls out of the transport ship and she's running through the desert and she like looks like a complete spaz? Oh, God. Those movies. Why did you even have to bring that up?
Because it's the perfect example of what you're saying.
But no, okay, so
take great actors,
right,
but give them, you know,
bad directors and a bad script,
right,
and they flounder. Now, you just started watching Battlestar Galactica on DVD, and you're going to see a lot of actors in that show who you've seen in other things who were probably not that great, fantastic on that show. Absolutely. I mean, even Richard Hatch, no offense, because my friend Jerry is really good friends with him, so I don't want him to think I'm dissing Richard Hatch, but in the original Battlestar Galactica, I mean, come on, that show is very cheesy.
Right.
In this show, he's fantastic. Absolutely great. Lucy Lawless comes onto the show at some point. Fantastic. So, you know.
Well,
so that was my big problem so far with Hitman, other than the fact that it's a crappy movie based on a video game.
Have there ever been any good movies based on video games?
Yes.
Oh, you like the Resident Evil movies, don't
the
you?
The first one I thought was really good. Did you not see that?
I haven't seen any of them.
Oh, you should see the first one. It's very surprising. I think you'd be surprised.
What about Super Mario Brothers with Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo?
Okay, I never saw that. Come on, John Leguizamo. Are you
That's
kidding
Luigi.
Me? It's a me, a Mario. No, I never saw that. There has to be something. There's got to be something else that was good.
I don't know. I can't say I've seen most of them.
I'm trying to think. The first Mortal Kombat movie, when it came out, was better than anything else that had been out before it, but it was not a great movie.
Right.
I'm trying to think. There's got to be something else. Final Fantasy I didn't like.
That's what really surprises me, is that they continue to make these video game movies.
Yeah, knowing when none of them do well.
Well, I mean, now so many of them were bad that they're immediately people are just going to think that they're going to suck.
Right. Well, that's why I was kind of surprised that Warner Brothers said they're going to do a new Tomb Raider movie. But right. I still think...
You know, they're in production right now on a Prince of Persia movie.
Yeah, I heard that.
They've been rumored for years to be making a Halo movie. A Bioshock movie is in talks.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, see, that would be cool just aesthetically.
Yeah.
Who has anyone been cast as the prince in Prince of Persia?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
No.
Swear to God.
Is Maggie in it too?
No.
I don't like her.
Really?
Not a fan of hers.
Oh, she's a great actress, though.
She is a good actress. I'll give her that. But I just, there's something about, like, I always feel like she's going to try to get me to be a vegetarian or something. She just has that, like, you know what I mean? She just has that kind of air about her that you just think she in real life, she would be one of those people that would just, like, look down on you for your choices and try to get you to convert to something else. I don't know. I just get a bad vibe from her. But he's pretty good. Although, he was in that, what was that disaster movie where the earth froze up like an icicle?
Oh, was it the day
like
after?
The day after, yeah. Or the day after tomorrow or something.
Yeah.
And that was not a good movie.
Neither was Bubble Boy.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
That's where he's like in a bubble.
Like John Travolta?
Yes.
The same concept?
Yeah, but it's like a comedy and he's traveling the world in a bubble.
Oh, I like think I do remember hearing about bubble. That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he float?
He bounces. It's trash.
What was it made out of? Super elastic bubble plastic? Do you remember those commercials from when we were kids? I wanted that stuff so bad, and I never got it.
It was toxic. I bet
it was toxic?
Oh, my God. It reeked like, you know, bad
like
chemicals.
An oil spill?
Yeah.
Wow. No, I never had that. Speaking of which, around Christmas time at Woodfield, they had this...
Woodfield's a mall.
I'm sorry. Woodfield is a big shopping center. About a block from here. And at Christmas time, they had a kiosk there that was selling these little inchworms, like a fuzzy inchworm that had a string on it that you could make it do tricks. That's a toy from the 70s. Now, I happen to know that that mall charges tens of thousands of dollars a month to rent one of those kiosks during the holidays. And so it was no surprise to me that about 2 weeks before Christmas, it was gone because I don't think they were meeting their quota. But I don't know how you could bring back a toy like that from the 70s. I mean, the thing couldn't have cost more than a dollar.
Right.
You know, and back then, I think it was like 50 cents to buy it. But
well, I'm sure the people buying it were people like us who remember it from when we were kids, so they buy it for their kids.
You mean you don't think they all still saved their one from the 70s? Like I did. So the only thing I can do is review the first half of a lot of movies.
Yeah,
so maybe I'll start doing that next week. And what about you? Did you see anything?
I did. I went and saw, you know, my goal is to see most of the Oscar-nominated films. So I went and saw Frost Nixon.
Okay, now that's the love story between Jack Frost and Cynthia Nixon.
Exactly.
And it was...
You've just been waiting all day to say that,
it was done
you?
In claymation, right? Is that Rankin Bass?
No,
okay.
It is not. Of course, Frost Nixon is about the famous interview between David Frost and Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
Now, I have to say I wasn't super excited to see it. I just went to see it because it's one of the nominated films. It's nominated for Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Director. So I knew I was going to see a good movie, but I have to say the subject didn't really interest me because I'm at an age where I'm just a bit too young to appreciate it because I don't remember it. I was
right.
Like nine.
Yeah, I don't remember it either.
And, you know, I was following politics at nine, nor am I at 41.
Right.
So
right there with you.
So I didn't have a lot invested in it. I didn't, you know too much about it. Though, I mean, I learned a lot, you know, about history and that. And I have to say, the acting in it is great.
Yeah.
It has Frank Langella as Richard Nixon. And Michael Sheen as David Frost. No, he's not one of the Sheens.
Oh, it's that Michael Sheen? Oh, that's right. That's the one we were talking about. Okay.
I'm just going to cut you
he's
off
not
before
an
you ask. Yes. And And the acting is great. And actually, it kept my interest in the whole thing, and it was very interesting. And it was, you know, it's very similar. I was thinking when I was watching, it's very similar to like a boxing movie, like Rocky.
That,
yeah, because David Frost took on the interview with Richard Nixon because he thought it would really, like, Richard Nixon had just resigned and wasn't talking to anyone.
Right.
And like, so this was like fighting the champ. So he kind of took it on because David Frost just interviewed like celebrities.
Okay.
He just had a talk show. And at this point, he had already been canceled from his American talk show. He had one in Australia and one in London. And he thought this would bring his career back. So he almost did it more as like a stunt.
Almost like a dare, yeah.
Right. Not realizing that, you know, Richard Nixon, as far as America knew, Richard Nixon owed them something, whether it be an apology or an explanation for, you know, his actions in Watergate,
right.
Not to mention some other stuff that I didn't even know about.
Yeah.
So in taking this on, then he realized that, you know, he took on a much bigger thing. So then it became kind of like a battle between the two, because the interview actually took, it was a 4-day interview.
Okay.
And so it was almost like 4 rounds of a fight.
Right.
And they almost, you know, built the film to be this way, you know, with the last round of interviews being about Watergate and the scandal and all that. And that
right.
would be like the final round of the fight.
Yeah.
And
that's really cool.
It was really cool. And I have to say that, you know, Ron Howard's directing was great. And it really didn't. It didn't remind me of anything else. Ron Howard has kind of a sweetness to a lot of his films.
Right, yeah.
And I didn't really feel that in this. I mean, this was more, it was done kind of documentary style in that there were like interviews with the camera.
Yeah.
With the people involved. And so there was a little more of a hard edge to it than most Ron Howard.
Was any of the rest of his family in the movie?
Yes, Clint Howard's in it.
Okay. I just had to ask.
Yes, Clint Howard is in it. A very small role. And, you know, some of the supporting roles were very good as well. Sam Rockwell's in it. Oliver Platt's in it.
Yeah. Sam Rockwell is another one of those actors that, for me, I can go either way. Like, sometimes I think he's really great, and other times he just is like nails on a chalkboard.
In this, his acting is great.
Yeah.
But his character is nails on a chalkboard.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's the very politically charged, like, we got to get him to the point where it's like, it's aggravating.
Annoying. And Oliver Platt, he's kind of like that too. Like, sometimes I think he's great, and sometimes I think he's a little, well, he's always a little whiny. Is he a little whiny?
Yeah, actually,
in this?
He's fun in this. He's kind of like, he's actually the comic relief in this, I think. I mean, what little there is.
Yeah.
But as far as the acting goes,
I'm trying to think of what opportunity there would be for comic relief in this movie.
Yeah, there's very little. But, you know.
What, was he like a birthday clown or something at a party?
hey, everybody.
Hey, little Richie, come. You want a cupcake? Hey.
My God.
Well, he can pull that off.
But getting back to the Oscar nominations, Frank Langella is nominated for playing Nixon. And so now I can go back to my prediction. I still think that Mickey Rourke's going to win Best Actor. But I really think that Frank Langella's role as Nixon, I liked it better than I liked Sean Penn's role as Harvey Milk.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So Sean Penn is down now at number 3 for you.
On my list, yes.
Wow.
Not to take away from his performance. It was great.
Right, but still, I mean,
but Frank
Langella all relative.
Was excellent. And I'd really like to go back and watch, I think you can see them on YouTube, some of the original interview.
Yeah.
I'd like to see some of that and, you know, just see how they compare. Because I would imagine the parts of the interview that they showed, they have to do those verbatim. They can't change those for, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they could. They could.
But, I mean, that's taken away from the, you know.
Right. Well, so given that then where does the drama in the story come from? Just how Frost was dealing with the whole event?
Yes, because at first he took it very lightly. He thought it was just going to be this little light sparring match between the two of them. But then after the first day of interviews, Nixon like just kind of like railroaded him.
Yeah.
And not even in a way that like, you know, he pounced on him or made him feel like an amateur. He just kept rambling and just like he manipulated the whole interview to where David Frost is like, oh my God, you know, I didn't realize what I got myself into.
Yeah. And so then he comes back and he's obviously a lot more prepared ready
and
to deal with him on that mindset and everything.
Right.
That's pretty
and that's
cool.
What makes me, you know, equate it to a boxing movie.
Right.
In that he hadn't really trained for this because he just thought it was going to be a little, you know, dancing in the ring.
Yeah. He trained for badminton, not boxing.
Right. Exactly.
And then he learned his lesson at the School of Hard Knocks.
What?
I don't know.
But right, Frost Nixon, go see it.
It sounds good.
It was great.
And then the other thing we need to talk about in movies is the just released Christian Bale rant on the set of Terminator Salvation, where for about 3 minutes he goes absolutely crazy, yelling at director of photography Shane Hurlbut, I believe is his name, because I guess he walked through the scene, like he walked through the set in the middle of the scene. And if you didn't catch this on the news, I hadn't heard about it until Tony told me about it. But if you didn't catch this on the news, you can go to TMZ.com, and I'm sure you'll be able to find it on there, uncensored. Now, you said, when you first were telling me about it at lunch, you said it really made him seem like kind of an a-hole. But when I listened to it, I mean, obviously, you know, it's very harsh. But I don't know if I'm that ready to jump in and agree with you on that, only because you don't know what led up to it. You know, he did say that it wasn't the first time it had happened.
It was the second time.
And if you'll notice...
The second time.
Okay, but still... You don't know how bad it was either. And you know, the one thing that I saw afterwards was that the assistant director and one of the producers, Bruce Franklin, defended Christian Bale, saying that this was the most intense scene of the film,
uh-huh,
and that it was really bad that he walked through the, you know, walked through the middle of the scene while they're trying, while the actors are trying to do this. And I don't want to, you know, actors have a bad rap, justifiably so in a lot of cases, as being prima donnas. So I don't want to defend them in that standpoint, from that standpoint. But I will say that in anything, if you're doing something professionally and somebody's messing with what you're doing, that's really frustrating.
I agree completely. But I just think he took it so far to the level. I mean, I'm not taking away from that. I certainly think that he had a reason to rant.
Right.
But he really goes too far, yeah, where...
Although he did say at one point, he's like, you know, you're a nice guy, I like you, but, you know, don't F with me while I'm working. Kind of thing.
Right.
But you know what I thought was really interesting about that was that, did you notice for the whole first maybe 30 seconds to 60 seconds of it, he was still in an American accent. He was like still in character while he was yelling at the guy, which I thought was really funny, because then his British accent started coming back after that,
right,
which I thought was kind of funny. It's interesting to listen to just from that
standpoint.
Let's
also remember, though, that he does have, wasn't it just a year ago? Not even.
On the same movie, right, that he did this?
No, where he had, where, like, his mother, like, charged that he had assaulted her.
Really?
You don't remember that?
No.
It was right when Dark Knight came out.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he has anger issues.
Wow. He should go to a class. Do they have those in England?
I'm sure.
Is he British? Or is he some other UK-ish?
I don't know.
Oh, I think he's British. Yeah, so he's not going to have a good week now, because everybody's going to think he's a jerk. But I just don't want it to mess with any good movies coming out. I don't care if people don't like him. I just don't want this to, you know, make there be no Batman 3 if there was going to be.
Right.
Because he's getting a bad rap now. So basically... The only reason I'm slightly defending him is for purely selfish reasons of entertainment. Because I don't want Shane Hurlbut messing with my entertainment.
I also don't want George Clooney coming back to play Batman again.
Very good point. I don't really want George Clooney coming back to play much of anything, I got to be honest with you. He's not one of my favorite actors.
You don't like Clooney?
He's fine, but he's always exactly the same. I don't think I've ever seen the guy act.
He's our Cary Grant.
No, he's not our Cary Grant.
Our Cary Grant. I love George Clooney.
But do you think he's really a good actor?
Yes, I do.
Really? Don't you think he's exactly the same in everything?
No.
Name two things where he was completely different.
Syriana and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou.
Okay, I never saw Oh Brother, Where Art Thou.
Oh, well. I mean, so that's really a role that...
Because, I mean, in
Michael Clayton,
he was exactly the same as everything else I've ever seen him in. You know, if you go to any... I mean... Even in Ocean's 11, he's like exactly the same guy. It's just he's a little bit more pissed off. And
right. Well, you've got to see some of his other roles then.
Yeah, maybe.
So you've got some research to
okay,
do.
Okay, fine.
Before you rip on Clooney.
I'll give him the benefit. I'm not ripping on him. I'm just saying he's not one of my favorite actors. He's no David Canary, okay?
Apparently not.
All right, we're going to take a little break, and then we'll come back to talk about some tech. And just, you know, the last segment of the show really is more of a potpourri. Although I would prefer if we could come up with another term, right, since that might turn off a lot of people. It's kind of a grab bag, mishmash, a mashup. Hey, a mashup, that's it. Segment 4 is our mashup. of just everything that else that we want to talk about. So enjoy the music that, according to my wife, is way too loud, and we'll be back right after this. Okay, we're back for our mashup section of the show, which we've just come up with.
Actually, if we call it potpourri, is that potpourri?
I don't know what potpourri is.
Maybe we could get like Williams and Sonoma to
Williams
to
and
us.
Sonoma.
Is it Williams Sonoma?
It's Williams Sonoma. It's not Williams and Sonoma. Besides, they don't sell potpourri. What are you talking about?
Home Depot. I was looking for.
How
Home
about
Depot?
Bath and Body Works?
There you go.
Home Depot? Potpourri?
I'm saying that's how much I know about potpourri.
Okay. Potpourri is like the crumbled up leaves
yeah,
in a bag.
Yeah, I know what
stink.
It is.
Okay. So anyway. By the way, have you ever seen that, I'm sorry, I don't know the name of the store. There's a store that sells soap and all this other like fragrant kind of stuff, but it's all made in the shape of deli products. So it looks like a wheel of cheese with a bunch of slices of cheese cut out, but it's soap. It's like scented soap. Have you seen that place?
Yeah, it's usually attached to Macy's.
Oh, I don't know. There's one, again, at the shopping center across the street, and it's just a little standalone store. But I think that's kind of a clever idea. I still hate any store that smells that bad. I mean, I know it's supposed to be good smells, but...
Well, you're against cleanliness altogether, though, aren't you? Hello?
Yeah. No, I just, you know, it's overload. It's too much.
Right.
It's like those Bath and Body Works shops or Crabtree and Evelyn or right. any of those kind of things. Like, I can't
Daily
deal
showers.
With that. All right. Moving on. So I forgot to bring this up in TV, but the one thing about Chuck that was really good was that about halfway through the episode, I swear that they played our theme music. In the middle of the episode.
And we spent so long composing that music.
No, it's stock music. That's what's really funny about it. Oh, sorry. Yes, we composed it with our composing skills. But no, it's stock music that I have in a music library. And I swear about halfway through the episode that they actually played that music. I'm going to have to go back
and watch again. That's another sign that the show's going off the air.
The show is not going off the air, and they have a lot of their own music.
Better get your website up.
Come on. All right. Anyway, do you have anything for our weekly iTunes / iPhone rant?
I did have something. What was it? Oh, I have to agree with you. After last week's conversation, I went and I checked, and my podcast subscriptions are not updating.
Right. They show you that there's something new, but you can't do anything to get them to download. Right.
Well, you could click on it and download it.
Right, but I mean, when you do a sync, it doesn't happen automatically like it's supposed to.
Right.
Right.
Right. It doesn't automatically download it.
Yeah, which it's supposed to.
Right.
So, yes, still broken. Anything else?
Or
is that it for that?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, last week we mentioned that there was a rumor that a new iPhone was coming. And just last night I saw an update on that somebody found a patent application that shows that it may, in fact, have video conferencing. The next one. And I don't know if the drawings are to scale proportionally, but it looked wider compared to the height of it. So I don't know if that means that the whole thing is shorter or if the thing is the same height but fatter. I can't imagine they'd make it bigger than the current one.
No.
That seems like a bad idea.
Right.
But it did look like there was a dual camera set up and that it would not only do video conferencing but record video. So maybe this summer we'll have a third iPhone.
In addition to that, I did read that there was an interview with someone from Adobe makes Flash, right?
Yeah.
With someone from Adobe, and they are working on right now Flash for the iPhone.
Well, they said was that they had originally said that the technical challenges were quote unquote insurmountable. Right? And that there was something else. There was like some back and forth between Adobe and Apple. But Adobe admitted now that the ball's in their court and it's up to them to get it done. But what's really sad about that is it kind of proves that the iPhone hardware is two things. That the iPhone hardware is more underpowered than it should be and that Flash is more demanding than it should be.
Right.
And this was the weird thing is that, you know, Adobe has generally been considered to be an Apple software maker that just at some point happened to start making software for Windows too. I think their Windows software is actually better than their Mac software now. For the longest time, you could play all sorts of stuff on Flash on the PC that would not run at all on a Mac.
Really?
Which was crazy.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have these really complex animations that would run great under Windows, but you try to run them on a Mac and the thing would just stutter and hiccup. So I don't know if that has something to do with it, but it's good to know that it will hopefully be coming. I mean, at least for just audio and video, if nothing. I mean, right. Did you also read the interesting thing about why they were thinking that they hadn't done it before this?
No.
That they thought it would cannibalize sales from the App Store? Because if you can run Flash on the iPhone, right. That means you can go to any website with Flash content and just run that app rather than having to buy something from the App Store.
That's true.
But, you know, the thing that's interesting about that, whoever wrote that, saying that, is that it makes Apple look even that much more greedy if they stop it for that reason.
Right.
So hopefully that's not the case and that it'll come to there. And then we also have a new toy in the pause.com tech closet, which is we needed a new camera because we didn't really have a good camera to take pictures of anything. I don't know if you saw the Windows 7 pictures that I took, but those were taken with the iPhone. And I had to open all the windows and turn on all the fluorescent lights in here just to get it bright enough to take a picture since there's no flash on the iPhone. But so we got a new camera, and I decided that we should get a bridge camera rather than going either point-and-shoot or SLR. It's not like we're going to go out and buy lenses, and I'm a terrible photographer anyway so far. So I got a bridge camera, and I got the Canon SX10IS. So we'll do a little bit of playing around with that and post the results of what we see there. But so far, it's pretty cool. I mean, I took a few pictures with it this morning. I just picked it up yesterday. And I like a lot of the way that they redid the menus versus some of the old Canon cameras. And some of the controls are really nice. There's a wheel control that also has, you know, that you can also click the four directions. So you use it as a wheel and like a D-pad.
My 790IS has that as well.
Yeah, but it works really well. I've seen that before on other cameras where it didn't work. It was very flaky. Like you try to click it and it wouldn't register or the wheel didn't work well. But in this one, it seems to work really nicely. And it's the viewfinder is electronic. So if you're looking, even if you're looking through the actual viewfinder, not using the LCD screen, it's basically another LCD screen in there,
which is
really cool. And you can go either using the LCD screen or the viewfinder. And it's pretty cool so far, but we'll post some pictures that we take with that pretty soon. So what else do you want to talk about?
That's all I have.
You got nothing else?
I know. I'm always really light in this section.
Okay. Yeah, you'll have to try to be better prepared next week. Is this going to be an every other week kind of thing?
What?
Where every other week you're not prepared?
I'm prepared. Hey, I saw a movie. I had a lot of TV to talk
about. I saw half
a
movie. And if you combine it with the half a movie I saw the week before that, that's a whole movie. It's the baby's fault. What am I supposed to do?
Damn baby.
We can't watch Hellboy 2 with him. I'm sorry. Or Hitman. Really, the only thing we can watch with him is American Idol. Yeah. You know?
He likes it.
Well, I mean, he falls asleep during it, but that's good. Because then we can watch more TV. But no, I mean, there's nothing that's going to, you know, it's not fast-paced. There's no swearing, there's no car chases and stuff.
Right.
Amy won't even, she'll cover his eyes every time she presses fast forward on the TiVo because she doesn't want him to see that.
Really?
Well, she thinks it's too fast paced and that it's going to like melt his brain or something. And according to Alec Baldwin in the Hulu commercial from the Super Bowl, it actually might.
Yeah.
That was really good. All right, so then I guess we are left with our votes for best and worst entertainment moments of the week. And as always, Tony, would you like to go first with your worst?
I would like to go first. And you have no idea what I'm going to say here because I didn't even hint to it earlier. My worst entertainment moment of the week. You said you didn't see the Super Bowl. Did you see the Heroes commercials or promos?
Okay, when I was looking through the commercials on Hulu, I did see the beginning of the football commercial with the Heroes cast.
Yes.
And it was so bad that I stopped watching it.
Well, there was another one in addition to that. There was the football one, which actually was the lesser of two evils.
Oh, boy.
And the one set to the song Feeling All Right by Joe Cocker, but it's them lip-syncing it.
Why would they do that?
Oh, terrible. Terrible. Now, first of all, the football commercial, it's where they show them playing football against professional football players, but they're using their powers.
Right.
That, you know, it's kind
of
cool.
At least it's more of a tie-in.
Yes. But
lip-syncing
it
Joe
still
Cocker?
Gets, it's a little campy, it's a little shticky, especially at the end with Siler.
Yeah.
It just is, you know, it's taking something that they want you to take serious and then be campy with it.
Right.
And then I'm supposed to just, you know, tune in the next night and watch it and take it seriously. Because really, they're making this new set of shows look more dark and like it's going to be,
right,
you know, a little more intense than the previous set.
Yeah.
And then, you know, having seen these the day before, it really, you know, I hate to say jump the shark and twice in a podcast, but it's kind of stretching.
You could use Nuke the Fridge.
What?
You guys said you could use Nuke the Fridge instead.
Okay. But yeah, the other one with the lip syncing.
That just sounds ridiculous.
Oh my God, it's terrible. We'll see if we can find it on the internet. We'll post the link to it on.
Well, you can find them on Hulu. If you go to Hulu.com.
Oh, it has the hero.
Well, they have all of the Super Bowl commercials.
Okay.
So if you'll see a link to the Super Bowl commercials, and then it's in there. You know, but you bring up a good point, because that was one of my things, and I know people always criticize Star Wars fans for being too crazy, but it really bothers me whenever I see a commercial like with Darth Vader in it or something like that. Like, I don't want to see Darth Vader selling Taco Bell. You know what I mean? Because it ruins the whole thing for me. It's like, not that I believe that it's all real, but still, it's like there's...
I can see that to an extent.
There's a big difference between something like a Nacho Libre, where if you had those characters coming out, you know, selling Taco Bell or Pepsi or whatever, you know, it's funny and it's goofy.
Right.
But when a movie takes itself more seriously, even if it's not a serious movie or a realistic movie, I don't like it when the characters from that property are used to sell products. It just bugs me.
Right.
I don't know why. I hated that. And it only happened a few times until the prequels. And then it was like anything that he could get the characters on, it was open season, which was really, really disturbing. But yeah, so I understand totally what you're saying.
Google Star Wars Christmas special.
Exactly. Exactly. And by the way, I was challenged at a party recently to see if I could remember the words to the Ewok celebration song. Both the Ewok words and the words of the rapper in the middle of the song. I'm both happy and sad to report that I won the challenge.
So I guess shopping for your 3D glasses all over town was not your nerdiest moment of the week.
Absolutely not. Still glad we don't have that segment as part of this show. Okay, so my worst entertainment moment of the week was, I already talked about this, but it was the episode of Chuck last night in 3D. There was no real good reason to have the 3D, and it was just not one of the best episodes of that show. You know, one of the things that I love about that show is, even though it's very goofy, it's really tight. It's always a really tight show. The timing, the comedy is always really, really good and very strong. The relationship between the characters is one of my favorite things of that. And it was all kind of a mess this week. Part of it had a little bit to do with the story. At the end of the last episode, Chuck saw Sarah kill somebody in cold blood. And when he asked her about, and she didn't know that he was there. And when he asked her about it, she lied about what happened. She said the guy was taken into custody and was going off to prison, but he had seen her shoot the guy. And so it was sort of eating at him and everything. And so some of it was because of that, because he was not comfortable around her. He didn't know why she had lied, you know, all this other stuff. But it just didn't feel like the same group of people. I don't know if that was done on purpose or if it was just a different director and writer this time and it just didn't gel as well as most of them do. But I was pretty disappointed with last night's episode. So I'm glad that was the one and only 3D episode, and hopefully next week will be good again, but did not like that.
Next week's all in black and white, and it's a musical.
Well, actually, that might not be so bad after all the praise that you heaped on Slumdog Millionaire last week for their musical number.
For the Bollywood number.
The Bollywood number. But, yeah, just come back, Chuck, the way we remember you and love you. All right. Best moment.
My best entertainment moment of the week. You know what? I had a couple other things that I had picked for this, and now they don't come to mind. But but I have come across a podcast, and I know it's odd for me to talk about another podcast on our podcast, but I have come across a podcast.
I don't think we've tried to hide the fact that there are other podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have found one that I think is not only very entertaining, but very funny. It's called Movies You Should See, and I know no background about the people who host this. I know that it's they're British, and on the title card, their names are Rick, Will, Craig, Troy, and Allison.
Oh, I thought it was three guys.
Well, on the first episode, at least it was three guys. I don't know if there's ever an episode that has all five people.
Oh, okay.
But I just listened to another episode that has other people than the first episode I listened to. If you're just getting into this, download their it's one of their newest episodes. It's the Oscar nomination episode. And what makes this podcast so great, and it kind of pats us on the back as well, is that these guys go the whole Oscar nomination episode without any of them having seen any of the movies, but totally giving their opinions about them, and they're hysterical.
Yeah.
They're hysterical. Because it makes me feel a little better about sometimes we'll talk and
can't remember
maybe not have all
name.
The facts.
Yeah.
But these guys, they make up for it with their humor. I did listen to another one of their episodes because the whole idea of the podcast is each podcast is dedicated to a movie from the past that they think you should see. So it's a movie that they love and they'll you know, each podcast is like an hour and a half long.
Right.
So they'll talk a long time about. I listened to one on The Matrix, and they really did their homework. They knew all there was to know about the movie. But yet, if they kind of splintered off and talked about, oh, well, this actor was in this movie. What was the name of that movie? Who was that movie with? And even though they don't know it, it's filled with such humor that it doesn't
right,
matter.
It doesn't matter, yeah. That sounds cool. I got to listen to that.
So when you're done listening to our podcast, I definitely recommend it. You check that one out.
Well, I will definitely do that. My best entertainment moment of the week, again, is going to have to go to Battlestar Galactica.
Again?
Because that was my first.
I know. I know. No, I mean, I'm saying again.
I can't even begin to tell you how incredible last week's episode was. It was like, you know how every once in a while you'll watch a TV show and you'll think that it was better than most movies you see? This was the same thing. For that hour, that was so much better produced, acted. I mean, the intensity and the drama in it was way better than most of the movies I've seen recently. It was absolutely phenomenal and just incredibly intense. It was such good storytelling and such good drama that I just can't even give it enough praise. So cool. So I can't wait to see what they do this week because you know, this is the last group of episodes. It's done after this.
Uh-huh.
And it's,
how many more do they have after the episode?
I don't really know. But it was planned since last year that this was going to be the last season. So they're obviously winding down the story to something. I mean, there have been a lot of things revealed in the last 3 weeks that have been like, oh my God, moments. But
right. This
was just really intense, good TV.
Now, do you think
Friday.
They'll wrap it up completely, or do you think they'll leave it open-ended so they can make another movie or miniseries?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really done any research on that, so I don't know if they've said one way or the other. But there are some things there was a big moment in the series premiere, in the season premiere, that was a revelation about something that I had actually guessed like two seasons ago. So I was pretty proud of myself for that. So based on that, I don't want to say what it is.
As proud of yourself as you were when you knew all the words of the Ewok celebration?
Yeah, 6-1. You know? So I don't know. But no... I don't want to say what it was, but you could see where it could go either way. They could either just end it or they could leave it open. I'm happy with either way as long as they don't do a spinoff show.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't like spinoff shows for the most part. But no, it was an absolutely incredible episode of Galactica. So, and I would imagine that most people who saw it would agree with that because it was incredible. And that was my vote for best entertainment moment of the week.
Excellent.
So anything else? Any parting words of wisdom?
No. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. This has been episode 4. Episode 4.
And please send us your emails.
Yes. More emails.
Podcast@pause.com.
And look for the contest coming up for the casting of the Lara Croft in the new Tomb Raider movie. By the way, completely unofficial contest, but still a contest nonetheless. All right, thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.
Bye-bye.